In your Bibles this morning, Acts 7, verse 54. A man named Saul is what I've entitled the message this morning. The name Saul literally means asked of God or prayed for. Asked of God or prayed for. I want you to think about that as we look through this passage. So would you stand together as we read God's word? Acts 7:54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Let's pray. Father, once again, we're grateful for the day, for the opportunity to be in your house to worship you in spirit and truth. Bless now the reading of your word, and I pray that you would speak through me the words that need to be spoken to this congregation. You might hide me behind the cross, remove anything that would hinder that message, remove anything from my life that ought not to be there. Help me to be clean in your presence and to express your word, Father. And I pray that the Holy Spirit might take the message to people here, the decisions might be made in their hearts, Father, in a very special way. Again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for all of your blessings upon us. We thank you for this day and the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Guide and direct our time together and give us what you want for us at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A man named Saul. He was born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. He was circumcised an Israelite and of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Jew of the dispersion. His father had Roman citizenship, so he was born a Roman with all rights and privileges. His father was a Pharisee, so he therefore was a Pharisee. He faithfully kept the Torah and observed the law of God. He was first and foremost in his life and his practice and in his religion, a Jew. He was a Jew by his own words and those around him who advanced above many his countrymen. He spake Aramaic at home, but he learned the Greek language and he lived in a Greek culture in Tarsus. Tarsus at that time was a center of education and Greek culture, and it was an area of commerce as well. Tarsus united the Oriental and Western culture. He would have been of the minority in the area where he lived. It is believed that in the Roman Empire that 1/3 to 2/3 of the populace were slaves. He was a member of the despised group as the Jews, and his religious beliefs invited people around him to taunt him, to make fun of him. In his life, in his growing up, he learned to understand the feelings of others. He had social relationships with Gentiles, and so he knew how to get along with people of all kinds. A historian of the second century says, describing Saul, he was a bald-headed man, bow-legged, had meeting eyebrows, he had a large, red, somewhat hooked nose. He was strongly built. He was very zealous for the Jewish religion. He hated Christians and he hated Jesus Christ. He hated Christians and he hated Jesus Christ. He was educated in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel, and had his life not gone the direction it later did, one day he would have been a rabbi who probably would have outshone Gamaliel. His one life mission that he felt he was called to do was to destroy Christianity, to eliminate Christians off of the face of the earth, and to prove that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. In the passage that I read to you a few moments ago, Saul observed the stoning of Stephen. If you read that passage, it's a miraculous passage in which Stephen is preaching to them, and they are so convicted as he preaches about Jesus Christ that the people are ready to stone him. Stephen, as they were stoning him, looked up to heaven, and he said, "I see heaven open. I see the Son of God standing on the right hand of the throne, waiting for me." The people became so bitter that they began to throw more rocks, and they stoned him to death. And we're not talking about little rocks. But as they stoned him to death, there was a man named Saul who was standing there at that time, a young man. They laid their clothing at the feet of Saul. Saul was a witness. He was also a protector of what they were doing. And the Bible says that Saul was agreeing with what was being done. So as he consented to Stephen's death, there was a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and Christians were scattered everywhere. Chapter 8, verse 1 that I read to you a few moments ago, Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. He agreed with it, and at that time there was great persecution of Christians so that they were scattered from Jerusalem. The only ones who stayed in Jerusalem were the apostles who stayed there, but the rest of them scattered. But I want you to note as they ran, and as they ran because of persecution, that as they ran, they were witnesses of the gospel wherever they went and witnesses of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, though, that Saul made havoc of the church. He went into homes and he committed women and men to prison. You see how zealous he was about Christianity, how he protected Judaism, but he hated Christ and Christians. He literally went into their homes, brought them out of their homes, arrested them, if you would, took them to the officials, and had them either arrested, imprisoned, or killed. He made havoc of the church. The Bible says he continued to breathe out threatenings, and I think the idea is he wasn't just persecuting Christians, he was talking about it all the time. Those Christians have to go. That Jesus, he's not the Son of God. He's messing up our religion. He's messing up everything that we've got. So he's breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples. And he went to the high priest. And it wasn't enough that just in Jerusalem that he could eliminate Christians. He asked permission to go to Damascus. And in Damascus to hunt down Christians wherever they were. And to bring them out of their homes or wherever they were. And to bring them back to Jerusalem, and that they would be imprisoned or killed. And so that's what he did. He is a man who was full of hate and vitriol. You understand that he hates Christ. He hates Christianity with all of his being. He has decided that Christ and Christianity are entirely false and are an endangerment to his Judaism that he believes. Because he is a Jewish zealot all the way, he believes in Judaism. As he was traveling and they got near Damascus, you can read this in Acts the 9th chapter. I'm sure the story is familiar with you. The apostle Paul, as we now know him, but then he was Saul, was knocked to the ground as a great light was seen out there. As he was knocked to the ground by the light, he was blinded. I believe that the light was the visible presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I believe the Shekinah glory was shining from him, and that is what knocked Saul to the ground. Saul, lying on the ground, spoke out to him, and he asked the question, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this?" And Saul is asking the question then, "Who are you, Lord?" You see, he really didn't know who it was. He just knew that it was somebody more powerful than him. Something had dropped him to the ground, and now the voice speaks, and so he says, "Who are you, Lord?" But when he says, "Lord," I don't believe at this point it is necessarily Lord Jesus Christ. It's somebody who lords it over him, somebody who has the power over him to put him in the position that he's in. Then, as he does this, the Lord says, it is Jesus who you persecute. Can you imagine the shock that must have come upon him? He hates Christ. He says he's not the Son of God. He says he didn't really rise from the dead. He hates Christianity. And now the voice of the person who knocked him on his face on the ground and blinded him says, I am Jesus who you've been persecuting this whole time. Pretty hard to resist when you see me face to face, isn't it? It's basically the paraphrase there. Pretty hard to resist against me. And what he said then was, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, this time when he says, Lord, I believe he says it with an understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. What do you want me to do? If you have this kind of power over me and you've blinded me, I'm in your power. What am I going to do? And the Lord said, get up, go into the city. They will lead you there. Go into a house that you're going to find there. And then you will get instructions of what you are supposed to do. He arose. His eyes were opened, but he did not see anyone. In other words, the eyelids were open, but he was not seeing. The Bible tells us he was blind for 3 days, and he fasted and did not eat or drink. Ananias, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, was in Damascus living there. The Lord appeared to Ananias in a vision and said, I want you to know that Saul is here. He's at the home of Judas on Straight Street, and I want you to go down there and talk to him. Lay your hands upon him. Ananias said, Lord, I know who you're talking about. And basically he said, I don't want to go down there. I know what he's doing. He's here after Christians. And I walk into that house, basically, he's going to arrest me and maybe kill me. You know who you're sending me to? And the Lord said, don't you worry about it. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands upon him, and that he's going to receive his sight. He is going to receive the Holy Ghost. And he is going to realize that I have a job for him to do. He's going to bear my name. He's going to be my vessel to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And I'm going to show him how much he has to suffer for my name's sake. Now remember, he's not really doing this to make him suffer. What he's saying is, he has persecuted me all this time and done what he's been doing. I'm going to turn his life around now. And now he's going to serve me. But in that process, he's going to find out what he's been putting Christians through because of what he has done. And so Ananias went and told him to receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit and laid hands on him. And the Bible said it was like scales. Now, I didn't say it was scales, but it was like scales fell off of his eyes. His eyes that had been opened before now can see. He can look around. He arose and he was baptized. He ate and stayed with the disciples and preached Christ in the synagogue. Now, just think about this for a moment, this marvelous transformation. He went to Damascus to bind and bring back Christians to be killed. He hated Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. To him, Jesus Christ was false. And now, after this transformation on the road to Damascus, his eyes are opened. He gets baptized and becomes a follower of Jesus Christ, and then goes into the Jewish synagogues where he went before and pulled people away. And now he's in the Jewish synagogue preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You talk about miracle upon miracle. Now understand that Jesus had 12 disciples, but one of them was not Saul of Tarsus. He did not walk with Jesus. He was not taught with Jesus. He did not live with Jesus. and probably never met Jesus until on the road to Damascus. But he became a believer once he made contact with the risen Lord. His life was radically changed, and he later told us in the Word of God, he himself, as Paul the Apostle, that he was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was one of the last as someone born out of due time. He said that he was a follower because he had personally seen the Lord. He told us that. From what we can tell from historical records, Paul was about 30 years of age when he was saved. He was martyred about 60 years of age. So he had about 30 years of ministry. There were some silent years after his conversion that we don't know a lot about. But he shared with us later, and we find out from Scripture, that when he got saved, after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he went and preached in Damascus, as we saw there. Then he went to Arabia for 3 years. We don't know what all happened in Arabia, but apparently what happened in Arabia was that Saul went to seminary. Now you say, wait a minute, there's no seminary. They didn't have a seminary. No. Remember, he was trained in what? At the feet of Gamaliel as a Jewish rabbi. He had to have his thinking now retrained. So he went to God's seminary in Arabia. In Arabia, as best we can understand, it is there he worked out his faith. He dealt personally with God, and he came back a more changed man than ever before. After being there and solidifying his faith, he came back to Damascus, and then the Jews were trying to kill him, so they led him over the wall in a basket, and he headed to Jerusalem. He ended up meeting with Peter and James, but the Bible says he didn't meet with any of the other apostles at that time. And then he returned to Syria and Cilicia and spent about 8 to 10 years. The capital of Syria was Antioch, and Paul established his headquarters there. The church became firmly established, the Christian church, in Antioch, the third most prominent city in the world at that time. And the Bible tells us believers were first called Christians in Antioch. After this man was converted, and we now know of him as the Apostle Paul, this man who hated Jesus, this man who hated Christianity, wrote more than half of the New Testament. He established churches all over the place, and he went on missionary journeys promoting the gospel. Think of the change that took place in Paul's life. Who was Saul? The first question he asked is, what do you want me to do? When he met Jesus, what do you want me to do? Have you asked Jesus that question? What is your purpose for my life? What is it you want me to do? Secondly, he preached Jesus as the Son of God. In his life, prior to his conversion, he did many things to try to disprove Jesus as the Son of God. Like I said, he had people arrested and he took people to their death. And now he is working just as hard or harder to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul said, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what he's saying in that transformation? I call him Lord, and the only way I can do that is because of the Holy Spirit of God. In Acts 26, 9-20, he told of his own testimony and said, I thought that I would do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did this. I shut up many saints in prison, having received authority. I punished them in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, forced them to blaspheme, if you would. Being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted the strange cities. And then after that, he gave his testimony about how his life was changed when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And as he was doing this before King Agrippa, he said to him, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision that I received, but I showed at Jerusalem and Damascus and all of the other areas that we talked about. There was the change that took place in his life. There was the third change that took place in his life, a change in his sense of mission. Now he was not going to destroy Christ, he was going to promote Christ, but not only that, his new mission was not just the Jews. And you have to understand that Saul was a proud Jew. He tells us that in the scripture. He was very proud of his ethnicity and all of the other things involved in that and of his religion. But now his primary goal, not only to tell Jews, but to go to the Gentiles. Because now it was revealed to him that Israel would eventually be blessed through Jesus. They would be restored and blessed through him. And God was going to use the Gentiles in that persuasion as well. So there was a change in his sense of mission and his purpose in life. A man who before wanted to destroy Christ is now doing everything he can to promote Christ. There was a change in his nature. You don't have to take very long to realize that Saul was full of hate. He was murderous. He had all kinds of things. He believed in what he was believed in, so much so that he was going to destroy everybody who didn't believe in it. He was filled with hate. But after he accepted Christ, his life changed. His life is now full of love. He loves Jews. He loves Gentiles. He loves Christians. If you read his letter to Philemon, he was tender and tactful, not forceful, not demanding. He was very humble in what he did. So much different than what he was before. And his values changed. A man who hated now loved. If you have any question, read 1 Corinthians 13. You remember that love chapter? That is the man who was known for his hate, who is now known for his love. His name was later changed, not knowing exactly the reason. I think part of the reason might be using that Roman heritage, part of it the change in his life because of following Christ. But now remember his name what had been asked of God or prayed for. But the name Paul, the Roman name, means small or humble. And very descriptive of him because he was a small man, but he also became a humble man. It has been estimated that his missionary journeys took place over 10 years and covered 10,000 miles. Can you imagine? A man in all of his missionary journeys who hated Christ is now doing everything he can to bring people to Christ. By the time he was martyred around AD 67, he had helped create a worldwide church, the Christian church that we know of today, that so many churches that he had planted. In just some 37 years after the crucifixion, the worldwide church was being formed by a man who once hated Jesus and who hated the church. 20 years after his conversion, he stated about his life and what he had planned to do, but now his life is built upon the hope and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said in Acts 24 that after what some call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. So see what he said? I didn't leave Judaism. I believe in the law and the prophets, but they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And what you call heresy is actually the gospel. And he said, I have hope toward God, as many others do, of a resurrection from the dead, if you would, and of the dead. He went on to say at another time that if anybody preaches any other gospel other than Jesus Christ, basically that he's a false prophet. Basically, that's what Saul did at one time, wasn't it? But now he says that this is the only thing. And he went on to say that what he received, he did not receive of man, but he received from God himself. And it was God who blessed him in every way. He talked about the preaching of Christ and what the purpose of the preaching of Christ was, and for the purpose of the redemption of mankind. Paul even went on to say one time, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." It's amazing that Paul, who depended so much upon his Jewish faith and his heritage and his citizenship, in his time after his conversion, talked about his citizenship was in heaven. It wasn't the Jewish citizenship. It wasn't the citizenship of this life. But he said in Philippians 3:20, "Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Conversation literally means lifestyle, our life, where we live. Our citizenship, he said, is heaven. Paul is described by some people of that day, after his conversion, as a man who was full of grace. And they said that if you looked at him, sometimes you saw a man, and sometimes you saw an angel. What a marvelous transformation from a man who was so filled with hate. And what was the change? Because he met Jesus Christ. Paul told us in his writings that believers are not foreigners, but are fellow citizens of the household of God. He talked about his life at one time and said he didn't want to brag. He could brag if he wanted to. He could talk about how he was circumcised and what he had done, but at the end of that soliloquy, what did he say? "If I'm going to brag, it is only to brag in Jesus Christ. That's all I have to brag about. I'm nothing without him." He said in another verse, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Such amazing change. From a man who hated Christ and did not believe him, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ." And he told us that our conversation or our lifestyle is in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sometimes people say Paul's letters are hard to understand. And I would imagine probably they are, if you don't know his background. But if you know Paul's background, if you've studied him and know what he's like, you can understand his letters and what he was saying and the change that took place in his life. What greater testimony is there to Christianity that a man who filled so hate and so opposed and wanted to disprove Jesus Christ actually met Jesus, and after he did, his life was changed? And all of our lives ought to be changed. Until the age of 30, persecuted the church at some years there. But after his conversion, he promoted Jesus Christ. But do you understand that hardly did Paul mention the birth of Jesus Christ? What did he talk about? His death and resurrection. It wasn't the birth of Jesus that brought salvation to him. It was the death and resurrection. Of course, Jesus had to be born, but it was the resurrection. Has there been a change in your life since you met Jesus? Do you understand that if you truly meet Jesus, your questions will be taken away and your life will be changed? Sometimes we try to hang on to the old way of life. Paul did not, or Saul as we started out calling him. He gave up that old life for the new way of Christ. I want to give you something that I read just recently, and we'll bring it to close here. In Alabama, the Auburn Tigers, head basketball coach Bruce Pearl shared at First Baptist Church of Opelika about his trip's recent time in Israel. That was this year. He took his team to Israel to play three games against Israeli teams. Coach Pearl is a Jew. They got to play the games. They experienced a tour of historic and religious sites. When he took his players, he told them, as he took them on these tours, "It's up to you to decide what you do with this information. I'm going to take you to places, Jewish sites, where Jesus also was at, where Jesus walked. It's up to you what you do with it." So he didn't try to force anything on them. They saw historic and religious sites. He knew that they would never be able to open the Bible again the same way they had before they went to Israel. They saw the sites where Jesus performed miracles, where he walked. They toured the Holy Cross Museum. And this coach had even had relatives who had died in the Holocaust. At the end of the program in the church, as Pearl talked about his Jewish faith, now remember, he's not a converted Jew, he's a Jew. As he talked about his Jewish faith, he shared that his wife Brandy is a Christian and prays for him to come to faith in Jesus because she loves him and she knows what eternal life is like for her and she wants it exactly that way for me. He said she also finds richness in her faith in Jesus in learning more about the Holy Land and the Jewish festivals that Jesus celebrated when he walked on the earth. Pearl said his identity lies in his Jewish faith. Listen, his identity lies in his Jewish faith. He said he believes in the miracles of Jesus, but he holds to Judaism because my people have been murdered for their faith and because that's my father's religion. That's my grandfather's religion. That's how I was raised. It's also interesting in that story that while the coach was in the Holy Land, several of his students were baptized in the Jordan River. Not by him or by something he did, but by their choice because they were Christians. But did you hear what he said? You see, he knows about Jesus and he believes there was a Jesus and he believes in his miracles. And he knows his wife's a Christian. He knows his wife prays for him every day. And she wants for him what she has for herself. But his faith, his Judaism, is his purpose in life, he says. That's his identity. And he went on to say that he holds to Judaism because his people have been murdered for their faith, because that's my father's religion, that's my grandfather's religion. That's how I was raised. Do you understand that was Saul at one time? It was my father's religion and my grandfather's religion, and I followed it. But when he met Jesus, he realized he was following the wrong thing. What are you following today? Are you following Christ or are you following religion? Are you following Christ or are you following a set of rituals because you were raised in it? Are you following Christ? Are you following something because your family believed in it? Hopefully, prayerfully, one day this coach will come to know Jesus Christ. At least he was open enough to admit what his life was like, open enough to go into a Baptist church and talk with a Baptist preacher about this situation, and open enough to let his basketball players experience Christian baptism if they wanted to. But what about you? Are you trusting in your faith, the faith of your fathers, the faith of your grandfathers, or you met Jesus face to face? Paul's religion led him on a pathway of hate to destroy everything that was against him. Once he met Jesus, it was a pathway of love, and he accepted others, if he agreed with their faith or not, he allowed them to live that faith that he told them about Jesus. We're going to have a verse of invitation. Our musicians are going to come. If you've not met Jesus, you need to meet him. If you've not asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you, you need to do that. Jesus died for you. He was buried and rose again. He lives today. He wants you to experience him. And if you say here this morning, "I've trusted Christ, I did it a long time ago, but my life's pretty much the same as it's always been," maybe you need to take a fresh look at Jesus. Paul Saul, before he was saved, was radically transformed, radically changed in a moment. A lot of people doubted it. A lot of people didn't think it was right, but he proved it. And look where he stands today in Christianity. A man who hated Jesus, but today is one of its greatest authors and defenders, if you would, and what he did in his life on earth. This is your time as we have a verse of invitation. The altar's open. You can come and pray. You can come and talk to me, whatever it might be. This is your time. So would you stand together as we sing?
Just to